Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Tuesday, November 23rd, 9 a.m. One more hour to go on a Tuesday show of Thanksgiving week, rivalry week, right here on WJOX 94.5. Brian Haydad joined us a little bit earlier in the show, talking the Mississippi State angle on this Egg Bowl coming up Thursday night. Podcast always available. Thanks to our friends at Allen & Company Jewelry in Vestavia. Find those online at jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please like, rate, review those, subscribe. We always appreciate that. Had some Monday Night Football last night, Greg. When I left you at the airport, this was semi-competitive, and all of a sudden it quickly fell apart for the New York Giants. 30-10, Brady and company get the win comfortably. Brady goes 30-46, 307, two touchdowns last night. And you made a good point yesterday. We were at dinner kind of talking about this game, that this is about the point in time last year where Tampa kind of started to ramp things up and started to really turn it on. Do you see that in this Tampa Bay team right now?
It looks like it, right? I mean, last night, and let's not, you know, I mean, Daniel Jones literally threw it. The only guy in the area was a defensive tackle for the Bucs. So, I mean, like, we're not talking about a exemplary quarterback performance. It's probably one of the worst quarterback performances I've seen this year in the NFL. He was that bad. But all that being said, when you look at the New York Giants, there was reason to think that they would actually have a pretty good performance. They had 1-2 of 3. They had Saquon Barkley coming back. There was reason to think that they were creating a little bit of momentum. They played pretty well in each of the last four games leading up to last night. So it's easy to point and say, well, that was more about Daniel Jones and how bad the Giants are. No, they've actually been decent these last few weeks. So I think this might be a sign of things to come for the Bucs. And if it is, then look out NFL. It does feel like a little bit of an all-star team too, by the way. I don't know about you, Cole, but you look at their wide receiver core, even without Antonio Brown last night. I mean, Godwin's outstanding. Evans outstanding. Take away the interception off of his chest. Gronk looks revitalized as if he, gosh, never retired. And then you take into account Fournette's become a really good player. I mean, very, very solid for what they do, and his contributions in the passing game are outstanding. So I really like this Tampa Bay team. And then defensively, I mean, shoot, they're all over the place at all three levels. Vita Vea's not even in the lineup, and they're rocking and rolling. So lots to like about Tampa Bay, and you got to think they're probably the team to beat yet again.
You didn't even mention Mike Evans. And, I mean, just the weapons on that offense just feel like they're all over the place. Like, they just can't even – there are a lot of easy decisions for Brady to make when he's looking to spread the football around. And now has – Mike now has the Buccaneers' all-time touchdown record. So, I mean, he's been exceptional. And there are a lot of different ways they can hurt you, obviously. A lot of different ways that they can find touchdowns, find yards, find offense. It's not just quarterback. Obviously, Brady's great. And even though it looked like he was taking out trying to take out a double play last night in that one slide that he had. But
it went in spikes up. Don't like that. That was against Xavier McKinney, too, by the way. So I hope everyone listening on the show has a little animosity. They try to take out a Bama guy. That's all I'm saying. Okay. In all seriousness, no, he went in spikes up. It was a great run, though. Got to give him credit for that. And that dude is fiery, man. I mean, he is the ultimate competitor, and last night was surgical. I mean, obviously had the interception, but that wasn't his fault. I mean, goodness gracious, that was surgical. It felt weird when the ball actually hit the ground when Tampa Bay was on offense. It also feels weird to shop anywhere other than Bill Smith Buick GMC. Their GMC's dealer of the year for a reason. Some dealers claim to be number one, but out of the more than 1,800 GMC dealers, General Motors says Bill Smith is number one. They have the largest selection of GMC trucks and GMC or Buick SUVs in Alabama. They're also the Southeast's largest GMC dealer. Go grab yourself a 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 four-wheel drive crew cab elevation with the 5.3-liter Ecotec V8. The list price, $55,250. Well, you get it at Bill Smith under $50,000. $49,951. That's how you stay atop the business for more than six decades, and that's also how you get 75% customer repeating coming back. I mean, they come back because their experience is so great when we're working with GM Andy Cole and sales manager Jonathan Yeager. So go see GMC's Dealer of the Year right there on Highway 31 in Coleman, or you can shop online at BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
You know, you mentioned earlier that it doesn't feel like that Ohio State has played very many good pass defenses, which is accurate when you go look at it. But I actually was a little surprised because I feel like that there hasn't really been many great passing attacks that Michigan has faced this year either. I was really surprised to see – I wasn't surprised to see Maryland at 15 when you're talking about just passing offense rank, top to bottom in college football. I was surprised to see Nebraska at 23.
Passing?
Nebraska is the 23rd best passing offense in college football at this moment, 272.6 yards per game. I was also surprised to see Penn State at 25. Penn State has a better passing offense this year than North Carolina, as does Nebraska. North Carolina averaging 270 passing yards per game.
I can't say Penn State's that shocking because they can't run the ball. I mean, they almost...
North Carolina is surprising.
Yeah, that's very surprising. I mean, North Carolina's
thrown
been awful.
24 passing touchdowns to Nebraska. They've only thrown 14 to 10 interceptions. So, Now, we didn't say most efficient passing attacks. We're just talking yards per game. Most of this probably because Nebraska trying to climb from massive deficits in the second half of their games. I would assume that's sort of how we got here. But
I don't feel like Nebraska ever gets blown out. But that's wild. I mean, either way, when you take into account Nebraska and Adrian Martinez's inefficiencies, I can't imagine he's completing more than 55% of his passes. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I'd be surprised. So when you look at
he's at 62% on the year.
But how many? I'm talking actual like real throws, not extended handoffs. I guess that's a fair. Like you need
I don't
talk,
have a calculation
I mean,
on that.
Yeah, it's hard to factor in bubbles and screens into completion percentage. I mean real throws. I would imagine he's around 50%. So either way, I mean it's pretty impressive because Nebraska's not really been a real efficient offense. They've been solid on defense all year. But I'm very surprised by the numbers statistically. Probably because they played Michigan State's defense. That's what it was. Maybe Michigan State's the common denominator there.
Only 244 in that game. So they actually, 351 on Wisconsin would be their most impressive outing. But you're right also that something that I hadn't really noticed is they have not been blown out. Oklahoma got them 23-16. Illinois got them 30-22. 30-23, they lost to Minnesota. 32-29, lost to Michigan. 28-23, lost to Purdue. 26-17, Ohio State. 35-28, Wisconsin. So maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel for Scott Frost. They have been competitive in some games. We will give them credit for that. So
you see, Adrian Martinez is out this weekend.
Hmm.
Against Iowa.
Also saw Nebraska's favorite in that game. So
not anymore. I don't know if
wild to even see.
I don't know if they still are, but I would imagine that thing flipped almost entirely. I bet Iowa is favored. They were favored by 4. Nebraska was. I think Iowa is going to be favored by at least 3 now.
All right, you guys have heard about the Iron Bowl competition that we've had as far as fantasy football goes, thanks to our friends at the Bruno Event Team. Obviously, you have a chance to win tickets courtesy of the World Games. We have the winners that you can now know who's going to take these tickets home. Your winner for the Alabama team is Robert Steele. Robert chose Mac Jones, Leroy Jordan, Trent Richardson, Amari Cooper, and David Palmer. Nice job going David Palmer there, by the way. And the Auburn winner, Deborah McLean, who took Cam Newton, Bo Jackson. Do we really need to go any further than that? I feel like you'd be good. Terry Beasley, Carlos Rogers, and Pat Sullivan. Quarterback depth for Deborah. I like it. Go make sure you got a good backup there. So just in case. So Deborah McLean, you are the Auburn winner for the World Games tickets. And Robert Steele, you are the Alabama winner. Did not choose Greg McElroy and somehow allowed Robert to win in this competition.
Nah.
So not sure where we got sideways on that one here at the station. But those two are the winners of tickets to the World Games. Thanks to our friends at the Bruno Event Team. Obviously appreciate their support here on the show, everything they've been able to do for us. And kind of fun looking over some of those Auburn and Alabama fantasy teams as we head into Iron Bowl week and discuss everything happening around a lot of these different games. Eric McLean's going to join us in 20 minutes. We will talk all the ACC-SEC matchups coming up. And Georgia Tech doesn't feel like there's a lot really to discuss there. We've mentioned Kentucky and Louisville today. But the South Carolina-Clemson game, Greg, is one that – and I was actually going back and watching a little bit of that South Carolina offense this morning, just kind of trying to find out what they had success with. And while I will say Shane Beamer not necessarily accurate that they ran two plays in the second half over and over and over, they did run a dive at one point. They ran some counter power a few times. There was a screen. There was a reverse. Obviously, multiple dropbacks. But they ran duo nine times in the second half and absolutely bludgeoned Auburn with that play. So there was one play that they continued to go back to in the second half that was very successful. But you just saw this Clemson defense. You saw this Clemson front. We know how many guys are out. We know how banged up they are. Outside of just the aggressive nature of the structure that they bring, with what's left of this Clemson defense, why is it going to be difficult for South Carolina to attack them and have success against them on Saturday?
Well, I think this Clemson defense, first and foremost, has not been the problem this year. It's been the offense. The offense has been a mash unit. Last weekend, they're without Justin Ross. They're without E.J. Williams. I mean, they're without some really good players offensively. They also have had a few guys in and out of the lineup along the offensive line, which has made life a little difficult for them as well. So this Clemson team is getting healthy at the right time, and that's a real benefit to have had some young guys that were forced into the lineup that had some growing pains. It's going to pay dividends, I think, in 2022 and beyond. Ultimately, I think for Clemson, it comes down to whether or not they can run the football. If they become one-dimensional through the air, they're going to have some problems because DJ Uiagalelei right now is not at 100%. He's got an injured index finger that's caused him to miss even the easiest throws. I mean, last week he threw a bubble. It's like an 8-yard throw, and he almost one-hopped it to the guy. So I would go...
Did you get worm burner on the broadcast when he did that?
No. It was the first play of the game. I mean, so we kind of had to, you know, we had to kind of introduce a few of the storylines. So I didn't want to go there too early. I didn't want to lose the audience right off game day. you went worm burner in your Buffalo game last week. So I figured I had to.
But that was on a punt, so people don't mind if you make fun of punters. You're good there.
That's a good point. That's a good point. When you look at this Clemson team, though, I think they've become a run-based offense. That's not who they've traditionally been, obviously. They were one of the worst teams in the country last year, last in the ACC running the football. But this year they have to take some of the pressure off of DJ Uiagalelei and that passing attack and a depleted wide receiver core. So their best players right now are Kobe Pace and Will Shipley, their running backs. They're a 1-2 punch. They're both really dynamic. And they're going to find ways to get them opportunities in space. And if South Carolina can hold up against the run, I think they'll have a decent chance. But I don't think this is going to be a game where South Carolina is going to be able to get to more than 21 points. So you know what that means? They're going to have their defense play out of their mind. And if they do, then they'll definitely have a chance.
The D-line's got to be active. Jabari Ellis going to have to cause problems, which, as you said, that offensive line's beat up. They're a little bit one-dimensional right now. So could J.J. Enagbare in that group maybe have a big impact on this game? It's possible. The matchup sort of looks like it could allow for it. But if Clemson gets the rushing attack going, that could negate a little bit of it. Do you feel like a lot of this might come down to, and I know they're not going to have to consistently do it for four quarters, but which quarterbacks can come up with the big plays? Which quarterbacks can actually convert a couple big third downs? Which quarterbacks can convert a couple of explosive plays? Could that end up being the difference in this matchup?
That was the difference last week. I mean, you look at it. Shoot, there was a couple opportunities prior to Wake Forest just putting the ball on the deck a couple times inside their own 20. There were a couple times, I mean, Wake Forest could get off the field on third down, and DJ made a nice throw on a slot fade that went to the house. You know, and those are the plays that South Carolina is going to have to stop and or make if they want to pull off the upset. Because there will be plenty of opportunities one-on-one. If you look at this defense for... Really, if you look at the defense, really at all three levels, I don't think James Skalski's a great player, but I think he's physical, and he'll hit you, and they'll get pressure on him because he's a bull in the china shop. If you can get him running, that's advantage you. The best player on Clemson's defense right now is number 22, Trenton Simpson. He's their best player. He's really dynamic off the edge. He's good off the ball at the second level, but he's a guy that they move around. and he's a guy that you need to account for in protection at all times. So I think you can neutralize their pass rush. I really believe that. I don't think their pass rush is too outrageous, even though last week they had, what, 8 sacks? I don't think their pass rush is too outrageous. I think you can get the ball out quick enough to where they don't become a huge factor. But I also think, too, it's going to be massive that you take advantage of their nickel and take advantage of their safeties. I don't think their safeties are good cover guys. Makuba's not bad, number one. But I don't think their safeties are great cover guys. Nolan Turner's never been a great cover guy. So, Nolan Turner from Vestavia Hills, Alabama. So, good player, not a great cover guy. So, if I were them, I would just try to make sure that I get advantageous matchups in the slot, and I would get the ball out of Brown's hands really quickly because that pass rush, of course, is good and dangerous if you hold on to the ball too long.
You mentioned the DJ injury. Is Pumachon still – is he out for this game?
He's been out. He's up, but not 100%. And him being a runner, he's not who you want in the lineup at less than 100%.
So would it be Hunter Helms at that point if they had to go to the next in line after DJ?
Helms – I'm trying to think. Helms – no, I think
Billy Wiles?
I think – no, I mean, Helms is warming up, but Pumachon was up last week. It just – if it really came down to it, if the game was in balance, I think it'd be Pumachon. It just, I think he'd be limited. Right. And then Helms, of course. Basically, last week, DJ was out there with 4 fingers on his throwing hand and 1 knee. So, obviously,
they don't want to go next.
They really don't want to see the next guy up. That was what I saw.
We'll continue that conversation around South Carolina Clemson. Eric McLean played at Clemson, played for Dabo, now with the ACC Network. He'll give us his thoughts on where the quarterback depth is for the Clemson Tigers right now, when the last time he can remember a game maybe being this competitive, or at least looking like it was going to be this competitive going into it on the other side of the break. But speaking of competitive, it's Royal Automotive. They can compete with themselves because they have so many options right there at one dealership, conveniently located right off I-65 and Highway 31 in Vestavia. If you're looking for options and vehicles to choose from, well, Royal's got it. New vehicles being delivered daily, and Royal has a massive selection of pre-owned vehicles. Royal, the only place in Alabama that you can find the GMC Acadia, the GMC Yukon, Volkswagen Atlas, Buick Enclave, Volvo XC90. Royal's got me driving the Volvo XC60. The technology in that thing is fantastic. That's there as well. And so many more options right there at one location. Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills, all part of the Royal Automotive family of stores. And Royal makes getting behind the wheel of a new vehicle easier than ever and lightning fast. If you only have an hour to shop, it's all you need at Royal Automotive. They'll even deliver your new ride right to your driveway. Royal Automotive, exit 252 where I-65 meets Highway 31 in Vestavia, online at royalautomotive.net. What does Clemson have to do to get a win against South Carolina? Can Georgia Tech be competitive with Georgia? Will Florida State get this win against the Gators this weekend? We ask Eric McLean about all these matchups next on McElroy and Kubik in the morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubik in the morning, 9:24 a.m., Tuesday, October 23rd. Before we get to Eric McLean of the ACC Network, former Clemson offensive lineman, and maybe Eric can help us when he joins this because, you know, he's a Husky kid. Every year I have this goal of, you know, oh, I'm going to try to lean up before Thanksgiving and I'm going to try to not be really tubby before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to try to kind of be in a little bit better shape so I can just go ham on Thanksgiving. And then every year Thanksgiving rolls around and I feel like I'm extra gooey and extra bloated and extra tubby and extra chubby, and I just, for some reason, that never works out. Eric, I don't know if you like even try the same thing or have the same problem, but as a former offensive lineman, usually we speak the same language. So I'm interested where you are on sort of leading into Thanksgiving every year.
Brother, I try my hardest, and it never works out because of sometimes it's reasons I can't control. You know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm a master on the Traeger. I'm a grill master on there. So we have family coming to town, and so I've had requests put in already starting yesterday for cooking things on the Traeger. And so it seems like we're trying to build up to this great event, but you know, people want it earlier, man. So I've got to deliver, and so I'm right there with you. I'm trying to, you know, feel lean and hard body going into this thing, and and I'm just squishy and trying to make room for Thursday.
Not during
I respect
the season,
that you're
man.
Going. I respect that you're going Traeger because Traeger is a fascinating advancement in barbecue technology.
No
but,
question.
It's a little bit. It's a little soft. Just being honest, it's a little too easy. Like if you're a real grill master, you're not going Traeger. At least that's what the boys tell me. They go Pit Boss or something like that. Or you know, you can go on the egg. That's fine. I mean, if you're just cutting corners, you want it to be a little simple. Just pure millennial move by Eric McLean. That's for
hey,
sure.
Hey, my man. Thank you very
much. All right, Eric. So let's dive into – I'm going to start with Carolina and Clemson. It's a game that you played in. It's a game that you know, a rivalry that you know. And I want to start with just when was the last time you anticipated this matchup potentially being this competitive going in as most people believe this one could be on Saturday?
Yeah, it's been a long time, man. I mean, probably 2014, you know, the first time that Clemson won when, you know, South Carolina was on that great winning streak and some of the best teams that they've ever had there in those years. I think five in a row was the number. And really, 14 was where it was a little bit of a toss-up. It's like, okay, you know, Deshaun Watson's hurt. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? You know, the Gamecocks have a good offense and, you know, can make things happen on defense. So, it's very interesting feeling, I think, for the Gamecocks that they have a chance, that they have a shot in this thing because it's been six straight and an opt-out year last year with, you know, different teams not being able to play each other out of conference. And Clemson, you know, looking to go for seven straight here. But, you know, certainly some encouraging things happened in Columbia these last couple of weeks, you know, to give them shot or thoughts that they have a real big shot in this one.
When you look at Clemson's ability to run the ball, I think it's amazing just the contrast that we saw from last year to this year. Last week, a great example of it. I mean, I don't ever recall Clemson trying to be a team that's like, hey, we're going to impose our will, we're just going to run it down your throat, and that's just going to be who we are. And that's what they did last week against the Wake Forest defense that I actually think is better than they are – better. They're better players than they are statistically. You know what I mean? Like, their stats are way worse than their players are. So, I guess, what kind of offensive approach do you anticipate from Clemson this week, knowing they kind of found a little bit of an identity last week?
Yeah, Greg, really, I expect to see a similar game plan. You know, just because that, you know, that South Carolina rush defense isn't one of the best in the SEC, and the fact that, you know, Clemson found such great success, you know, with Kobe Pace and with Will Shipley running the ball extremely effective, you know, 333 yards. I mean, no, I don't think if you would have asked any Clemson fan going into that Wake game, can Clemson do this? I don't think anybody would have said yes, just because what you've seen all year long and then the commitment to it, running it 50-something times. I do not remember the last time that Clemson did that. So I think we surely will see more of the same of that Saturday night, you know, right here in Columbia. And, you know, these guys just building on that confidence. And DJ has gotten marginally better, certainly not the expectations met from, you know, what we thought going into this game, but really has found a confidence throwing to Bo Collins, his high school teammate, and Dakari Collins, two just superstar freshmen. In addition to the tight end production, it's been fascinating to see the evolution of this Clemson team from week one to now going into week 13.
Eric McLean, former Clemson Tiger, now with the ACC Network, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, breaking down some rivalry games. Before we get into a couple of the others involving SEC-ACC teams, where's Clemson's quarterback depth right now? I know DJ's banged up. Greg was talking about being on that game last week. Where would they go next, and how healthy do you think DJ is heading into this game against South Carolina?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to see just his health and thought that last week honestly might, you know, hurt him a little bit more after, you know, you bang that knee up, you're running on adrenaline, you're feeling good, and then the week after, not really needed as much, and then coming into Wake, thought it would be a big deal, but it didn't look like it. I mean, certainly he's still hurt, and certainly he is, you know, not the same, but you saw a couple of explosive plays. You saw him break out of the pocket like we really hadn't all season, kept his eyes downfield and delivered a strike. So, you know, I think he's probably around the 70, 75%, you know, kind of health-wise, which, you know, in this day and age of college football, we all play hurt anyway. So that's kind of a normal thing. And then at backup, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how far along has Tyson come along? Is his shoulder going to need surgery? You know, Clemson has done a really good job of keeping that quiet. So, if it's not him, then they're going to Hunter Helms, you know, who was a former walk-on, who has shown, you know, flashes at times when given his opportunity. Now, albeit that in, you know, very low-pressure situations, but certainly do not want an injury to a quarterback moving forward for the Tigers.
Since obviously we want to talk a lot about Clemson and South Carolina with you, naturally knowing where you played, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about another game that I think is really fascinating in the ACC-SEC tilts. Full disclosure, I'm not that encouraged by what we're going to get from Georgia Tech. I think they're going to get absolutely boat raced. I think Florida State's going to smoke Florida. Based on what I saw in the first half of last week, I saw all I needed to see. So that game doesn't really do a whole lot for me as well. The one that I'm most interested in, though, is the Louisville-Kentucky game. Because Louisville has found themselves offensively. Granted, it's against Duke and some other teams that aren't great, but Syracuse is pretty good on defense. Louisville smoked them and smoked them early. So I guess, was Louisville's offensive revelation more about their competition, or is it more about what they've found now in Malik being able to create big plays?
Yeah, you know, I think certainly it is to Duke. I mean, when you play Duke and you have a quarterback like Malik, certainly you expect that type of production. But also, I think the confidence that they are, you know, just having in him that he's the guy and understanding that he's going to have to do everything, you know, for us, scoring 7 touchdowns, over 500 yards of total offense, just really looked fantastic. And like a new belief that saying, okay, he actually is the guy. So I'm right there with you. I think this game is going to be fascinating. I think that Kentucky, you know, although they have one of the best defenses in the SEC, the most mobile quarterback they played is who? Maybe Hendon Hooker. So I think they're going to have a real big challenge here going against Malik and just understanding that, hey, he's the guy. We have to contain him. We have to surround him and make sure we have an extra hat anytime that he can break out. But, man, when he's out in space and he's either, you know, on an option play like we saw against Clemson, 50 yards to the house, or if it's a run-pass option and he can zip that thing down the field, he is a very explosive quarterback that, man, he's been so fun to watch these last 3 seasons.
Eric, going back to what Greg said about Florida State and Florida, he's actually ramped that up since yesterday. He said he thought Florida State would win. Now he's calling for the blowout. So I'm wondering what he's been seeing in the last 24 hours. But where has Florida State
improved? Not much of my pillow, I can tell you that much. I'd probably just running on a lack of sleep. That's probably what it is.
So
tell me, all right, since you're going to give me a hard time, cube kicks, tell me what makes you think Florida's going to be competitive in that game?
No, I was going to ask Eric just where Florida State has improved the most that he thinks could lead them into having a blowout situation in this game. I don't think Florida's improved anywhere, but I do think Emory Jones can still make plays. I do still think you have good tailbacks. I think the scheme's still the same. Dan's still calling the offense. Now, defensively, I actually thought Florida's defensive line made a couple plays last week against Missouri. I mean, it was on the perimeter, and it was downfield where they really had the majority of their problems. So there were a couple individuals up front that made some plays. They're not fitting the run the way that they need to, and obviously don't know exactly where to be half the time. But that's where Florida State potentially could take advantage. Where has Florida State improved the most the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, really what you just said. I mean, finding out their identity and understanding that, okay, we can run the football. We're a running football team and really going back to that core and figuring that out with, you know, Corbin and the electric quarterback in Jordan Travis that, you know, can just make so many things happen with his feet and his leg, extending plays. You know, you kind of wrap him up, think he's down, and then somehow, boom, you know, he's a magician. He's outside the pocket delivering a strike. So it really, Cole, started with that run game and getting confident in that. And I think, as you said, you know, Florida not being able to put hats and fill gaps where they need to, Florida State can take a real advantage of that. And then just Jordan Travis's confidence. I mean, these last 2 games, he's played the best football of his career, throwing the ball very effectively, confidently, taking shots downfield. I think you got to give big respect to, you know, this Florida State offense having to evolve week to week and figuring out, okay, how much of this playbook can we give this young man? How much can we open up? I mean, there was a time in that 4-game losing streak where they just looked so bad that, you know, Florida State was just dink and dump, little quick screen, little quick hitch, and that was it. And we're just like, man, throw the ball. And now Jordan has finally got to that piece of the offense, and I think he's going to have a big day. I mean, I think that he's going to be really hard for Florida to tackle and to take advantage of, and, you know, just a guy that is going to make the most of this moment. And then on the other side for Florida State, Jermaine Johnson is a freak. I mean, coming from Georgia, could you imagine what they would look like with him? Maybe he doesn't even get on the field there. But really has just emerged, I think, as a top draft pick in this NFL draft, whether it's the first or second round coming up later this year. Just what he can do and his freakiness. He can play every position. He can line up anywhere and really dominate. And so I think between him and Keir Thomas, a South Carolina transfer, I mean, those guys are going to be feasting up front. We all know, I mean, you take away the quarterback with Florida, there's not much else really happening. So can they contain him? Can they get after him on the defensive side of the ball? Will be interesting to see.
And then finally, when you look at just the ACC as a whole this year, and we haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to really sing the praises because, frankly, Eric, I'm not super impressed by the league as a whole top to bottom. But give me the silver lining. Like, where should we feel positive about the ACC this year? I think the depth has been good, but the lack of a real top-tier team has me a little bit concerned. Now, I think it's a blip on the radar. Clemson will bounce back. But how would you sum up this season for the league as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I think it is interesting, Greg, because there isn't that playoff contending team, which has been, you know, Clemson for these last couple of years and Florida State in the first year, of this new system that we're in here. So certainly I think from a big picture level, people will say it's down, but the competitiveness of the league, the teams that you have like a Wake Forest, an NC State, a Clemson, a Pittsburgh, it's been impressive to see the competition, understanding that on any given day, a team like Miami can come out of nowhere and really get after a team and be able to, you know, put things on the table and be able to beat those guys there. Improvement has been marginal. I think we're going to see a lot of these guys, you know, who do decide to come back, make 22 so much more exciting. And then if you have a team like Clemson, you know, reemerge as a playoff, as a national championship contender, I think you feel really good about where the league is.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think there's a lot of young players that have played a lot. So I'm cautiously optimistic, Eric. I really am about what we're going to see from the league here in the years to come. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no doubt, brother. Y'all have a great show. Appreciate you guys.
All right, you too, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. That's Eric McClain. Best of luck on your Traeger experience. Look forward to hearing how good the bird was when you put it in the smoker. Going to be awesome, man. Eric McClain does a great job on the ACC Network. All of our guests join us courtesy of the Bud Light Hotline. Appreciate everyone having the time to hop on what is a holiday week. But, hey, we're working, man. We got Mac tonight. We'll talk a little bit about those games. Talk a little bit about what's coming up this weekend outside the SEC. We still haven't really hit Bedlam. I think it's worth a mention. So we'll hit that just a little bit. Before we do, I want to tell you about my friends at Crocker Moving Services. They're a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. He believes in hiring movers that you can trust. They complete full background checks and run drug tests on every single employee. These are good guys. You can trust them in your home. Whether you need your whole home packed up and moved, your company headquarters moved across the country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys have you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you purchase and you need to get to your house. Call or visit them online today for a free quote. The website is CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move. All right, when we come back, we're going to do a little preview of what we expect from the College Football Playoff Committee tonight, and we'll bounce around, hit the matchups that we're going to see in the MAC tonight, and want to talk a little bit of Bedlam. Because I think, by the way, just mentioned the fact that we're going to hit the College Football Playoff. Well, Bedlam going to be pivotal when it comes to the College Football Playoff Committee rankings, not just this week, but in the weeks to come. We'll hit that, put a bow on the show. On the other side, right here on Mac and Cube in the Morning on Jocks 94.5.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning, wrapping up a Tuesday edition. Podcast available, jocksfm.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Thanks to our friends at Allen and Company Jewelry. If you're struggling from arthritis, maybe some anxiety, you or your pet, your CBD store has answers. Broad-spectrum mango CBG gummies that can help deliver an uplifting effect, give you a great start to your day. Or how about blueberry CBN gummies for a great restful night's sleep? They're released on the shelves right there at your CBD store. Also, Trim by SunMed, revolutionary new line of products in weight loss sciences, is available now at your CBD store. They have products that have helped me. They have products that have helped one of the pets in our household. Our biggest dog, Lola, was having some issues with her back legs. having some arthritis issues. In about a week's regimen of CBD, she was almost back to normal. So they can help you, can help your pet at one of their locations, right there on Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cajun Cleaver, and Trussville just off 459, also downtown now in Five Points. That's your CBD store where good health hits home. Speaking of Bedlam, Greg, you mentioned it. It feels right now like Oklahoma State is just rolling, has their act together a little bit more so than Oklahoma does. I don't think anybody would debate Oklahoma a more talented football team, but that maturity, that experience, and playing just as that, a team, is what most likely is going to be Oklahoma State's biggest benefit heading into this matchup. The defense has just been phenomenal. I have a feeling that they'll be able to continue to cause problems for whoever Oklahoma's quarterback is in this game. If it's not for explosive plays, I don't really see a path for Oklahoma to get this win, but they can create those. They have created those at times this year, just not consistently.
Well, the one thing I think that Oklahoma has going for them this week, and I don't like anything about the matchup for them, I strongly prefer Oklahoma State in this game. It's in Stillwater. They have a better defense. I think they're more complementary with what they do offensively. I think Oklahoma State's a lot more similar to Baylor, who, I mean, made life really tough on Oklahoma, than they are really to anybody else in the league. So I expect Oklahoma State to win this game. But the one thing that gives me a little bit of doubt and makes me pause just ever so slightly is the fact that they have basically, they've just had Oklahoma State's number. If you look at Mike Gundy's performance, just look at Mike. I mean, I think most people would say, man, Mike Gundy, really good coach, right? I mean, really excellent track record, all this other stuff. And I think that's fair. I think a lot of people would come to that conclusion. But if you look at his performances in the biggest game on their schedule, the biggest league game on their schedule, he's beaten Oklahoma three times in 16 tries or whatever it is. Now, you could say, well, that's not that bad. Oklahoma's had some really good teams. Yeah, kind of, but not really. I mean, you would think Mike Gundy, being the head coach of his alma mater since 2006, excuse me, would have a better track record against the Oklahoma Sooners. So maybe this is the year they get it done, but I'm not as confident as I'd like to be, knowing his challenges playing against Oklahoma over the years.
Just such a sound defense they have this year. And
really good.
Not super talented, not a ton of NFL guys, but understand how to fit the run. You don't see guys being turned loose in coverage. And, you know, that part of this defense has been really impressive. And with an inconsistency at quarterback, an offensive line that just flat out not getting the job done the majority of the time, it's weird that we're saying this, because I think the highs that we've seen from Oklahoma this year have been really high. And Oklahoma State hasn't really peaked offensively. They've just been consistent. That flat's been pretty good across most of this year, but the valleys for Oklahoma's offense have also been pretty deep. And I feel like that's where I'm with you, and that I like Oklahoma State in this game. And I think it puts them in a very interesting spot when we start talking about the college football playoff. You also mentioned that. I don't want to get to the college football playoff in just a moment, but there's one thing that no homeowner wants to face. That's an unexpected major expense. It's going to wreck your budget. When you go outside and check the above your garage door, if you see cracks are shifting in the bricks, if they're sagging at the top of your garage door, that means there could be a breakdown in your lintel, and it can cause a lot of problems. It could also cost you a lot of money. And the fine folks at Lintel Lift can help you with that problem and save you thousands of dollars. Their team of experts knows exactly how to repair it. Lintel Lift uses a patented lintel repair system that can fix the problem and save you cash today. Visit LintelLiftBham.com. Learn more about how they can fix your lintel problems. Take a look at that garage door today. If you don't like what you see, give Lintel Lift a call and ask for Dan the Lintel Man. 205-858-LIFT, 205-858-LIFT, or go to LintelLiftBham.com. Those college football playoff rankings that'll be out tonight, Greg, is there a big change? Is there a big shift that you are anticipating from that committee?
I think Ohio State will be ahead of Alabama. But the only people that should matter to is CBS executives. No one else should care. The reason why I say that is because in the SEC championship game, they'd probably love to have a 1-2 matchup. You know, but it doesn't really matter. 1-3, it's all the same. So just based on how dominant the performance was and the fact that Alabama's defense, again, didn't have a great day, I could see them dropping them behind the Buckeyes one spot. But it doesn't matter that much. Ultimately, every one of the top three teams controls their own destiny, and they are in full control of what's right in front of them. If Alabama wins this week, wins next week, they'll be fine. Ohio State wins this week, wins next week, they'll be fine. Georgia, of course, they're in probably no matter what, assuming they win this week against Georgia Tech. And then it all just comes down. The biggest thing I'm most interested in tonight is, where's Oklahoma State relative to Oklahoma? How far down the ladder do they drop? And does Baylor slide up enough to make it interesting if, in fact, they win this week and they win next week to go to the Big 12 championship game, assuming Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma? So that, I think, is the most interesting, because Baylor could very well become the first two-loss team to make the college football playoff if they can win this week and win next week, avenging their loss to Oklahoma State. Will it happen? I don't know. But something certainly to keep an eye on tonight.
I'm going to keep my eye on Tostadas, because I know if you're looking for a great place to go eat lunch, the Tex-Mex with a twist is where you need to be. Mexican pizza, pomegranate guacamole, street corn queso, Conecuh queso, all the different tacos like honey jalapeno, fried chicken, firecracker, shrimp, smoked brisket, and more. Find the menu at theflattaco.com and you'll learn about all the different specials. And don't forget about Tex-Mex brunch coming up Saturday and Sunday. They'll get you set for all the college football on Saturday, all the college football on Sunday, right there at Tostadas. Tuesday night, bingo night, food and drink specials starting at 7 p.m. tonight, and that goes until they're done. Beautiful weather. You can be out on the patio watching games, also inside at the bar. Hal and the guy's always going to take good care of you. If you need carry out, if you need curbside, or if you want to just order ahead, Tostadas can handle all of that. Visit theflattaco.com. They're located right there on the square, downtown Homewood, across from our friends at Soho Social. You don't want to miss it. You want to try it. If you need lunch or a new dinner spot tonight, Tostadas is where to go. Tex-Mex with a twist. Check them out. Downtown Homewood on the square, and let them know you heard about them on McElroy and Kublik in the morning. All right. Obviously, a lot of these games are going to be fun. College football playoff rankings, getting into the college football playoff, going to be on the line for a lot of these teams, a lot of these games. And we got tomorrow to break it down. Obviously, not going to be with you on Thursday. We'll be back live on Friday from 7 to 10 a.m. Of course, Thanksgiving, we'll be getting you set for that tomorrow. And McElroy's going to be on call for the Egg Bowl. You driving over Thursday? You're just going to go ahead and roll over there Thursday morning?
Or? Yeah, I'll roll into the stadium. Game's at 6:30. I'll get there about 6:28.
Yeah, just right in.
Sounds about right.
I might get there in time for a nice bourbon drink, get the voice all lathered up.
Ooh,
you know,
there you
okay.
Go.
Inside scoop.
Dial it up a little bit.
Pregame ritual. Yeah.
Yeah, pregame ritual.
You and old Tess.
Drink a fifth of Knob Creek. Head to the booth. No, in all seriousness, man, I'm going to roll over Thursday. I've made it the drive now. This is my third time calling the Egg Bowl. Have done one in Oxford, have done one in Starkville, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be there. The only thing I'm bummed about, and I always leave super early on Thanksgiving because I like the rivalry setting. I like to get there just a touch early and bounce around. I'm a little concerned about the weather, though. A little worried about the weather this week, but it's all good. We're
going to
enjoy it
nonetheless. I know he told us it was going to be rain, but we're not expecting, like, bad weather. Or is it just
rain? No, 88% chance of rain.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, it's raining.
Yeah, but who cares?
Tell Katie to bring the rain gear.
Get the
boots with the fur. And
absolutely. And if you guys are interested, by the way, in going and seeing that game or the Iron Bowl, check out Tickets for Less. They're your local source for SEC football tickets. Find the best selection of seats without the added taxes and per-ticket service fees. You find it other sites at ticketsforless.com. Call today at 205-758-1199. Visit their office at 1410 University Boulevard or shop online at ticketsforless.com.
Great show today. Brian Haydad breaking down Mississippi State, everything with the Egg Bowl from that end. Eric McLean joined us as well from the ACC Network. Talked Florida State, Florida. Talked a little bit of South Carolina, Clemson. Did not get into Georgia, Georgia Tech. Not sure we're going to spend a ton of time on that one this week. Kentucky Louisville seems to be one that a lot of folks are extremely interested in, just as far as that being a competitive game. You can find all the podcasts from those guests and more at jocksfm.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and those are always brought to you by Allen & Company Jewelers right there in Vestavia. Rubik's Cubic will move to Friday, so we will get a Friday edition of the Rubik's Cubic, which is going to be a little bit tight because we don't know if there's going to be Friday games on there, so we'll have to get
those out
quickly.
Can we get one Cubic's Rubik of Egg Bowl Wednesday? Maybe a Wednesday helping. It's like getting an order. It's like getting an order. Did you ever get to open like one present on Christmas Eve? Can we have that, please?
No.
Come on.
Yes. Okay.
Just one. Like you get one little small present beforehand. Maybe we do that. Maybe we do one treatment of the Rubik's Cubic or the Cubic's Rubik, however you want to call it, tomorrow.
Or maybe we just do the whole damn thing tomorrow.
Whoa! Hey-o! No, that's too
far
out.
I'm heading north tonight, so I'll stop by the office up there with the rocket scientists at NASA and see if they can get that computer fired up early.
There you go.
Get that thing going. Great show today. Appreciate you guys being with us. We're back tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. right here on Jocks 94.5. Three-Man Front is next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.